Good morning and welcome to Medicine on Call. We've recovered from the snowzilla, whatever you want to call it, from last week. So hopefully you enjoyed the archive show. But Dave and I thought that safety mattered first. So thank you for your patience.
But did you hear the infamous Bette Midler and
No,
her comment?
unfortunately, what?
She's such a, I guess she's a neurosurgeon on the side or something, maybe, you know?
Yeah, okay.
But her comment was, the storm in Atlanta, the ice and snowstorm in Atlanta, just proves that there's global warming.
Can't take it. All right. I'm speechless. But there's so much stuff going on, from the State of the Union address to what the CBO came up with yesterday. But I want this to be an overarching theme to this show. The snowstorm last week was really hellacious. I think it was completely, in some instances, unavoidable. It was like a self-inflicted wound because the government decided they wanted to go and do publicity for themselves and go get awards and not pay any attention to the weather forecast. I mean, if they knew at 2 o'clock in the morning that this thing was coming, I just find it maddening that the governor would come on and say, we didn't know. Like, we're all morons. This is the theme of the show. They think we're stupid. They think that we're just so caught up with what's going on in Hollywood, the Super Bowl, that we just have no will, no brain, and we will just take any pabulum that they want to feed us at this point. How can anybody in their right mind think that anybody in this state didn't know that there was snow coming? And you're the only one of everybody in Georgia who didn't know. And the flip side, the mayor whining about it wasn't my job. It's above my pay grade. It's the state's, you know, it's their job to clean the highways. They took control last, you know, during the last election. I don't care. You have a bully pulpit, don't you? You can get on and say, don't open the schools. You close them early.
The mayor can actually, with our system in Georgia,
But he could say
but
something.
he
I
could say
highly
something.
recommend that you send
But
children home, right?
when was he, you know, when he came out and said at 12:30 last Tuesday, he said, "Oh, we're shutting all
Yeah, at the same time.
city at the same time." I
Yeah, I got
mean.
stuck in that. I left my office at 12, no, yeah, about 12:30. I live about 15 minutes from home. It took me almost 3 hours to get home. It was crazy. But all of this to say, if you don't understand by now the power or the impotence of government, then you'll never will. Because the people who actually went through this disaster, I was impressed with Georgians. People got home when they finally did, came back and gave water. Supermarkets let people sleep there overnight. Restaurants cooked food and served it down the highway to people. I'm telling you, if we were in Detroit or New York, this would not be going on. And I'm a Brooklynite speaking, but thank God I'm in Georgia because I think it would have been a whole different ballgame. And I think that that was a moment that if people look at it positively, because there's a positive in everything, we have so much power as individuals, as citizens of this country. It wasn't FEMA or GEMA that helped people. It was us banding together, you know, going the extra mile, helping people push their cars free from the ice. I actually saw a patient who may have fractured his nose because he was helping his neighbors push their cars from the road and actually slipped. But the point was he was out there taking one for the team. While the governor and the mayor are making excuses about why they can't do something, and it's someone else's fault. When does somebody in power take responsibility for what they do? This is a common thread as well.
Remind me to show you something after the show, and it will have to do with this statement. Elizabeth Warren, the senior citizen from Massachusetts, wants the post. She has the answer to
Think I
everything.
heard
Wants,
this.
have you heard this?
Yeah, go ahead, finish it.
She wants the post office to be turned into a federal bank where they can issue. I'll show you the envelope that's addressed totally 100% correctly to me from an office upstairs from me that has the big yellow label on it, no such number. You know, and it was a culmination of last week. I was looking for this envelope for, and it was mailed on the 24th of January. I got it yesterday from the people that had sent it to me. They called and said, hey, it was returned to us, no such number. You know, back to your topic of today, what the hell can the government do? Right.
I'm becoming more and more, I question that more and more every day. I know the State of the Union was a study in parallel universe. It was like being on a holodeck where whatever was being said was completely so out of touch, such a lie, so over the top, hyperbole.
Did you switch on me? You're talking about the president?
Well,
now?
It's all the same thing. I mean, this is the overarching theme, okay? It's like they're talking, but wait a minute. Am I hearing right that 6 million people signed up for Obamacare?
Yeah, I was thinking.
What? Huh? and the website's working? What? 6 million people. It turns out that the 6 million Medicaid patients are actually people who are re-upping their Medicaid. So they're already in it. They're just signing up for the next year. They're counting those. This is how pathetic it is. I'm sorry, I'm going to jump for a second. The Super Bowl. They actually encouraged the celebrities and NFL players to tweet about joining Obamacare. This is a big, ridiculous. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. So I'm going to listen to who is their ambassador? I think it's Magic Johnson. Really? I'm going to listen to Magic Johnson tell me to go to healthcare.gov like he's using it. Like when you sign up for Obamacare, let me know how that's working for you. Let me know if they're going to pay for your HIV meds. Listen, reality check. People are actually having to live through this system. It's no longer hypothetical and pie in the sky where they can say and they can make these pronouncements. And I listened to some of these old comments from Nancy Pelosi. They're laughable. She said it was going to create 4 million jobs, not that you were going to have, you know, better health care and pay less. No. Where's the line? You can keep your doctor, you can keep your hospital.
Yeah.
Now they're saying, this is just, it's alternate parallel universe stuff. Now they're saying, well, if you want to pay more, then you can keep your doctor in your hospital. I mean, they're admitting, this is what they're going to run on. Democrats have the unmitigated gall to think they're going to run on Obamacare, but they're going to do it like this, where we didn't say that. You didn't see that. It didn't happen. If there's a song that should run with the Democratic Party, it should be that Shaggy song, It Wasn't Me. That is their theme. That is what they work on. That is the Alinsky model, where you double down on lies, graft, theft, demonizing your opponent, telling them that they're doing exactly what you're doing, but you're superimposing the evil on them, and using the race card, the sex card, everything to divide and conquer, while you are literally doing exactly what you're complaining about. It's almost brilliant, but it's so naked now that I think people are waking up to the fact that that doesn't make sense. Is it me? I mean, they still can't figure out what to do about it for the most part. But they do understand that I don't get it. This doesn't make sense. It's so out there that it's counterintuitive to the people completely asleep.
I don't know if in your prep you were going to talk about O'Reilly's interview at all.
Well, it all comes down to lies and, yeah.
You know, I'm not a big O'Reilly fan,
no,
quite
he's kind
frankly.
Of a, yeah.
And but I'm less of an Obama fan. So but I do watch Fox News, basically surrendering that I don't want to watch the other stuff either. So when I you know, there have been snippet after snippet of the interview that O'Reilly did with Obama. And just like you were saying, exactly like you were saying, for him to come out and I think there were 5 points that O'Reilly was mm-hmm. making. And for each one of those, Obama came back and said, well, it was your television station that keeps it. One, it's not a station, it's a network. But beyond that, it was your televisions. It's your television station that keeps bringing these points up. They're,
yeah, they wouldn't be points if you didn't bring them up.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite is, you're only number one because I'm your punching bag. That was the theory.
Yeah.
They were number one before he got into office.
And, you know, and
really?
Now, what are you going to do after I'm gone?
Yeah, that was funny. I mean, the tone deafness is laughable. And it wouldn't be, you know, I don't mean that. I mean that sarcastically. It's laughable because it's killing people. And it's putting us in a position where, I know militarily it's very close to your heart. It should be close to everybody's heart. They are decimating the military. They are making them stand down. They are not training. I mean, there was a colonel that got on TV and said that they're not ready. If you get called up right now, in the six-month training, you know, where you have to go in and re-up and really, you know, get in there, they don't do that anymore. What's the story? How can the Congress sit back? What are they doing that they would let this happen? Are they so focused on getting back in and gaming the system and figuring out how they can institutionalize this graft, this cartel? It's a mafia, is what Congress is. It is not about taking care of us as Americans anymore. They're working against us at every single turn while they tell us that we should like it and be happy because they love us so much.
I'll argue with you on that. I don't think they're the mafia. I think they're a bunch of whining sheep. The mafia has the guts to stand up and do something.
Well, they're, you know,
and,
no.
And
this
Congress,
is the Alinsky method now. Okay, so they're doing their dirt, but they're making themselves look like they're weak. You know, Paul Ryan and Schumer are colluding behind doors to push this immigration bill out. That's not a sheep move. It's a Benedict Arnold move. You know, but it's not sheep. You know, they are doing this in plain sight while they're complaining about woe is me, poor me. Or the flip side is, I just want to get along and I want the government to work and I think we should compromise. Every compromise they make is against the American people. The health care bill, if you can't see this, I don't know what you're doing all day. I don't know what you look at. But the health care bill was pawned off as a bill that's crafted to help us, to help the middle class, to improve health care, to improve access, to improve safety, to decrease cost, to be patient-centered. Okay? This is what it's sold as. It's the opposite. They know where you live. They know your banking information. They know your Social Security number. They know your cell phone number. They know what you surf on the web. They know what my prescriptions that I write for my and every single doctor in the hospital in this country. They know what prescriptions that have been written for you. You are in a database. And I found out yesterday, which I didn't even know, but when you think about it, it's brilliant. Things like eHarmony and those dating sites where you go and give all of your other personal information is also being mined. They know you better than you know yourself. They know your move before you're going to make your next move. And that's why they think that we're so stupid that they can do whatever they like and just distract us because of our habits, because of what we've allowed, what we've given up for security. The mindset that I'll just give up a little of my freedom to get security is the kiss of death. You want to talk about road to slavery, road to serfdom? That mentality will get you killed and get you in an internment camp, which Scalia said yesterday he could, you know, foresee coming back to the United States. What kind of statement is that? Does that not make you scared? On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that wellness and prevention is the key to living a long and healthy life? For example, common diseases such as acid reflux, high cholesterol, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, and high blood pressure, in some cases, are caused by poor nutrition. Scientific studies suggest the use of nutritional supplements, a healthy diet, and exercise can control and, in some cases, prevent disease. Use nutritional supplements that are formulated using good manufacturer practice standards, and remember to let your doctor know what you are taking, since it can react with prescription medication. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I'm sorry, I get riled up when I think about how obvious these things are. I don't know if I have just, my mind works this way after 5 years of doing this, but I just see it. This is like a, I feel like I'm hovering over this crisis that we're in, and I'm seeing people just go along, get along. And every time they get caught in a lie, every time what they say will happen is actually the opposite. And then people re-upping, saying, okay, well, I just want my team to win it all. It's just stupid. I mean, how many times can you be disappointed? How many times can you end up on the wrong end of the stick? So they're telling, let's look at immigration. And compare that to healthcare. They promised us it was going to be cheaper, it's going to be fabulous, you can, you know, not pay anything in, basically, and get the moon. Well, now they're telling you if you let immigration happen, you're going to have more jobs, and everything's going to be fab. Are you stupid? You already don't have a job in the country, right? The average person is struggling for a job, is stop looking. That's sad. More people are on welfare than in any time in our history. Jobs are now, and the CBO came out yesterday and said people are going to lose jobs. Like, we didn't know. We've only said this for a couple years now. People are going to lose jobs because of Obamacare. There's a headline in one of the websites about a pizza guy who's gone from full-time to part-time because of Obamacare. This is not rocket science. And they admitted, the guy got on TV yesterday in the White House in the briefing and said, well, this is a choice, but it'll be okay if you want to do part-time work because you'd actually make out better because you'd get subsidies for your health care. Really? So he's telling you it's okay that you want to sit on your butt, work part-time, be on the dole of the government because that's what this is modeled for you to do. And it's okay. You should want to do that. You should not want to do that. There is no free ride. Once you take a subsidy from the government, they own you. Because when you do get your job and you do start doing well, they're going to take every single dime that they gave you back. You'll never get ahead. If you get into Medicaid, they have tenants within Medicaid, which I never knew, that once you're on the Medicaid plan and you need the system and you use the system, if you die, you own a home. They will take that home. They will take any property that you have to pay the government back, which means you've just given your wealth, whatever wealth you have, you've just given it to the government. You want to talk about transfer of wealth. There you go. It's certainly not to Warren Buffett. It's to the federal government with various slush funds. I'm sorry. I'm digressing so much today. But that MIRA, that thing with the IRA for private personal IRA. Are you joking? Are you stupid? Do you know where that money's going to go?
I'd rather have whatever money. And I don't even want money. I don't want paper money for sure.
Well, no.
But whatever portable asset I could possibly, I'd rather have it in a tin can.
Under your pillow. My mom used to say, I want my money in my, you know, in my house. I don't blame her. Now I get it. Because I'm going to tell you that little IRA that he promised would.
Oh, what's another one?
MIRA.
MIRA.
Whatever. This is what they promised you. Here's more pie in the sky, right? You put your money in, it's guaranteed that that the value will stay the same. What about inflation? You going to raise it for inflation when it goes up to 300, 400%? I don't think so. And it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States? Did you laugh? I was laughing at that point. That's never going to happen.
I'm at the point, and this is scary, quite frankly, for me in my age. I'm at the point that they say something, and there are times that I want to laugh. But there are also times, as many times now, that I want to cry. And you know, your thing, where are the people? Well, I don't care about myself. I'm 67. You know, some panel is going to tell me when I, you know, I'm no longer.
Not as long as we're friends, Dave. I will make sure that you get taken care of. I don't care. I have plenty of doctor friends. We will hook you up. So that's never going to happen.
But the thing is, why aren't, if I was 40 years old or 35 years old and had two kids or kids or whatever, I'm hosed.
You are hosed.
You know, why aren't these parents, I'd be fighting. I'd be, you know.
This is a full court press right now. It is on all cylinders. They're coming for us. They're coming after us. You mentioned children. There's a panel that got on. I mean, I know that they've said it on MSNBC, but now you have a panel, you know, academics saying your child doesn't belong to you. It belongs. That child belongs to the government. They're not joking. They're not joking. So when they talk about Head Start, that means a two-year-old in their clutches from the time they get up and they end up staying there until you pick them up from work. What are they learning? Are they singing, you know, Dear Leader song? What are they doing? I could tell you one thing they're doing. Global warming exists. You know, snitch on your parents. Does your parents have a gun in the home? Have they ever tried to hurt you? That's what they're doing. And they are mind controlling and indoctrinating and parenting your child. They don't want the family unit anymore. And I really figured this out. They don't want Christians either, because Christians answer to God. And that's what the Bible says. Man's law doesn't matter. It's God's law. So when they start doing all these things, you're more inclined to go, I'm not doing that because it's against my pact with God. I'm done. I'm out. They don't want that. They want you to be subservient to the state and to the government. And in order to do that, you have to be devoid of any other spiritual, familial ties. They want them broken because they want to be the only avenue. And when he says it's okay for you to work part-time and half-time and get the rest of your lucre from the government, then you become dependent. And you will do anything to get that check. You're living for the check. Somebody said that...
You're addicted to the government.
Exactly. So one of the vendors got on... I don't remember where I read this or heard this, but the beginning of the month... The economy's awesome. People are in there buying, shopping. Life is fabulous. And about the middle of the month, it's like crickets because people have gotten their check. They've blown their money. And then they're scraping by for the rest of the month. Who wants to live like that? That is not living. That is subsisting. While they give you all of this bread and circuses around, you know, I can't even watch sports anymore, to tell you the truth, because it all seems to be rigged. I mean, the bad calls are legion, especially if a favored team is on and they are supposed to win. And it's any points less than 5 points, they're going to win because of weird calls, weird, you know. I've seen it now so much I can't watch it anymore.
I don't know about you. We didn't watch the Super Bowl. I could have cared less.
Well, I actually did. But after the fact, it's kind of tainted if it's true. One of the defenders for Seattle said that they figured out the hand signals of Peyton Manning. So if they did, that they knew what play was going to be run. No wonder they could run all over them defensively. That's cheating. I'm not impressed with that. You know, so it's time for you to pull back from the grid of, you know, the entertainment grid. Because it's designed to tune you out, turn you off, dumb you down, make you feel alone, make you feel it's ghettoizing people. That it's, you know, I'm alone, nobody cares about me, but the government does. The government's going to give me money. I went to Disney World a couple of weeks ago. We're at the table and you're watching this family next to you. The kids are texting. You're in Disney World with your family. They're all texting around the table. It's like two different... This is the problem. It's brilliant. You know, I love the internet. There's good things about it. I've learned a ton on it. But it has the potential to make you, to change your interpersonal skills. You don't have any now. Well, not you, but the people who are the kids who live for this stuff. How can you be cyberbullied? Turn it off. What is wrong with you? You just have to keep going to Facebook and everything they say. They don't even know you. And you're internalizing what people, there is something psychologically wrong with the system. If if they could get into some child's or adult, their mind, or they feel like they can just do and say what they want, hurt people, be hurt anonymously, and it's okay, or it empowers them. There's something wrong with that. But if you were seeing them face to face, they would never, ever say half the things that they say to people.
Oh, yeah. I've got two emotions about the internet. I think it's terrible.
But I love it.
And I think it's wonderful.
I know.
I mean, if we didn't have it, we certainly wouldn't, and I'm not saying that everything that comes across on the internet is the truth. By no means is that true. But if we didn't have it, then I think there, and I'm surprised that the government has let it stay, the state has let it stay up as long as it has, that they haven't totally taken it over. If we didn't have the internet, nothing would be coming out. We would have no idea of some of the things that were going on. And yet, you know, I've had things posted that, or I posted things that, you know good and well that the other side is sitting there and they jump on it within seconds. One being the chemtrail stuff, and they all jump on it that, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, the other, and they go through the whole smear thing.
But they never back it up with proof, though.
No.
That's the key. And you have to understand there's paid trolls on these sites to deep. And when you start getting close to the truth and you start opening people's minds, that's when they start coming after you, you're on the right track. That's how I see it.
Yep.
And I would love at some point to go on one of these MSNBC shows because I would never be intimidated by race or sex or any of the other nonsense. And I would put facts out there.
You pretty well got everything covered.
I do. I do. I'm like a rainbow coalition. So ultimately, it would be about facts, and I know I would be able to shut them down because they would never be able to back what they say up. And all you say is if you have to resort to name-calling, then you obviously already lost the argument because you don't have facts. You don't deal in facts. And that's where I think the internet actually has done people a disservice. There is an emotional disconnection, this feeling of I'm special, that I don't have to prove anything. I just think something's true, so it must be. This is what we're hearing on TV from the politicians, too. Just because they say something exists or happened or will happen, then they've deemed it so, and that's what it is. But reality is going against everything that they're saying, but they just keep doubling down. At some point, all this to say, the answer is stop playing the game. It doesn't work. It's rigged. Withdraw your consent. That's how you win this. And when you stop shopping at these target places that are going to scam you and take your information and use it against you or allow it to happen, or vote for the same politician who gets in there and does nothing, promises stuff, and then gets in there and just does the same old, takes money from whatever lobbyists, votes the party line and doesn't even think about what they're voting for, or doesn't respond to you when you try to meet with them, why do you keep voting for this person? Maybe we shouldn't vote at all because you can't rig an election if no one's actually voting. If you don't have enough numbers to actually say that an election is valid, then you've broken that process. That's one way to do it. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that sleep is an important weapon against infection? Sleep is important because it is restorative. During sleep, known as REM, the body recuperates and resets. For example, the immune system increases its activity and stress hormones drop. There is a correlation between sleep deprivation and frequent colds. The average adult should get 7 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep per night, and a child needs more since they are growing. Sleep hygiene is important to set a good foundation. Techniques to promote good quality restorative sleep include going to bed at the same time at night, avoiding alcohol or caffeine prior to bedtime, avoiding exercise in the evening, reading to a young child at bedtime, avoidance of drinking fluids late in the evening, and avoidance of taking decongestants at bedtime. If you are having problems sleeping more than once a week, you should see a doctor for further evaluation. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey, inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you. This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, today we're trying to give you an overview and give you expand your way of thinking about what's going on. Because when you're living this and you're not really paying attention, you know something's wrong. You know you're going in the wrong direction. You know you're not happy with the way the country's going, but you just can't put your finger on why and how you can get out of this trap that you're in. And I hope today that when you're listening to our show that you take a step back and see the bigger picture. They want you so turned around, so beaten down, so caught up with survival that they're taking advantage of the situation to do whatever the heck they want to do. And when you do poke your head up and go, that doesn't make sense, they're like, go to sleep now. It's okay. We love you. I mean, they don't love you. Only person that loves you, well, it should be you, number one. God, your family, your people that you can see and touch, not people who have perceived power, who we've given them, by the way, who think that they're better than we are, that they know what's best for us, and they're going to take care of us. And they don't. What they do is take care of themselves and their cronies and their friends and their benefactors. That's what they're doing. So this whole immigration argument, and if you really think about it, listen, my dad was an immigrant. I have no issues with immigrants. Come over illegally, follow the system, get in line, do it through legal means. That's all we're asking. That's not racist to say something like that. It is a problem when people come over and they game the system. I've heard a multitude of stories where if people come in, they don't have insurance or undocumented, they basically now go to the front of the line. If you're an American citizen and you're in an ER, you're going to go through a lot more hoops than somebody who doesn't now. You know, you're not going to get the social services as easily. It's not fair. And while they're doing this, telling you that you're racist for questioning the situation, and you sit there and take it, then you're actually perpetuating this problem. There's kids in Colorado who can't have a Patriot Day because it's offensive. Where you live in the United States of America, if you can't celebrate your own country, then for God's sake, what is that saying about us as Americans to tolerate that, and for the people that we allow to be in power? I would be voting out that whole board. That whole structure would be gone. Parents should go up there en masse. This is not racist to say I love my country. I want to wear red, white, and blue. Are you nuts? But it's okay to celebrate Cinco de Mayo as if it's our holiday. It's okay. And I understand now they have whole sections on Muslim culture, the religion, etc. I don't have a problem with that. When I was in high school, when we did history, we did everybody's history. We had a module on India and Africa and Middle East, etc. It's important to know who we live in this world with. But there's a difference when you're denigrating your own society. You become subservient. And for you to say, I'm proud of who I am, makes you bad. That's the difference. So you can't be proud to be an American. If you're black and say that, then you're an Uncle Tom all of a sudden. Ridiculous. Or you hate Hispanics. This is the other thing, too. If you're Christian, all of a sudden, just by being Christian, it makes you, by definition, homophobic, sexist. It's just this superimposition of just because I believe something, then that labels me. And when people don't speak up against it and say, what are you talking about? I reject that. Then it tends to take on legs and have a life of its own. And so for this NAACP mouthpiece guy to say that any black conservative, I use the wrong word, but he is a representative, but he said any black conservative is a mouthpiece, quote unquote, for the GOP. And no one calls him on it. There's a problem with that. It's no longer about content of character. It really is all about color of your skin with no character associated. And the people who are colluding with it and feel bad about themselves and think that, you know, some certain progressives think that all white people are bad, that's self-hatred. You know, they've bought into this mindset of if I love my country and I love my family, then and I want to protect myself, I want to be self-sufficient, then I'm a racist. I can't think that way. I'm by definition, I need to demonize myself. That is a load of, it's a crock. And black people who feel that, you know, I can't actually believe in self-reliance, not depending on my race as a, you know, a reason that I can't succeed. Or I believe the hype that I, because I'm black, I can't succeed or I'm not smart. Those are all crutches, but they're all designed. They've been superimposed on us. There's nobody in this. I'd rather live in this country, to tell you the truth, than anywhere else in the world. Because if you do have a brain, you have some get up and go, you have a good idea, you can succeed. It's not going to happen in India. Good luck. It's not going to happen in UK. It's not going to happen in France. It's not definitely not going to happen in Africa. It's not going to happen in China. All right. It's all about either you're born to it, the caste system in India with the untouchables. Good luck being in that situation, or being a woman in the Middle East where you can't even vote in some places. You know, we really need to stop. I mean, I'm tired of the war on women thing. That's another crutch, another avenue to take our power from us. Women in this country are not, there's no war against women. And I find it to be offensive that the only thing that women, they think women care about is reproduction and, God, what's the other thing? Maybe gun rights or something like that. That's, it just labels women as all silly, bubble-headed, can't depend on ourselves to survive kind of thing. And it's offensive.
I got to throw in, we started a new show yesterday. The lady's out of Texas. She was an attorney. She calls herself a recovering attorney. doesn't practice anymore. But her show is Ladies, Can We Talk? And she pointed out yesterday, and is in her next show next week, the fact that all of this stuff is garbage about women don't make as much as men. If you know the lady that's just been anointed president of MS or of Microsoft, I bet she's making a few shekels more than I do. And
yeah,
you know.
I don't think she's eating cat food.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
women, anybody can do anything they want to.
And if you're not happy, then, you know, become an entrepreneur and make your own money. Stop depending on someone to give you something. I have had this conversation with someone who used to work with me. She's got just amazing skill set. So working for a big corporation, working like a dog, you know, 80 hours a week, no overtime, just it's like being a resident. And I said to her, you know, really, you need to move on and become a consultant and run your own ship. Decide your own fate. That's where the power is. Of course, they don't want that. And they're trying to cut out any free enterprise, any free market, any competition they can. And it's across the board. Hospital, from a medical perspective, they're doing it by trying to close down independent docs, solo practitioners, two-man, three-man groups, and having them become accountable care organizations. That's the biggest crock of crap I've ever heard. Because as soon as you do that, you no longer run your own ship. You no longer make your own treatment plan. What you do is you allow the hospital to access, or I should say annex, your office so that you follow the same hospital guidelines, which means you're subject to peer review, you're subject to maintenance of certification, you're subject to their protocol of how you treat a diabetic. These are the immunizations that you have to make sure your patients get. And if you don't do it, you're going to get dinged. So it's not like you're having freedom of will. It's no longer doctor-patient where you guys sit in a room together and you decide, well, I don't want the flu vaccine because I had a reaction because I'm allergic to eggs. Forget that. You're getting the vaccine because I get paid to do it. And when you do get sick and you go into the hospital, and if you look at the UK model, they get paid to euthanize people. It's called the Liverpool Care Pathway. And it's huge. They get paid to kill people. Think about this for 2 seconds. The more people you kill, the more money you get. My dad was a victim, potential victim of that in Antigua because it's part of the socialized medical grid. He was 89. He was in a room with other senior citizens. They put someone who was young in there. He lasted for like 2 days before they transferred him out. And of course, he was watching out for all the seniors. Now, ring a bell, no nurse. It was like a domino. You saw one guy next to my dad pass away, the next guy. I'm like, I'm not going to go here. You can't get a doctor. There's no beeper. If you want to speak to them, you have to get there like 7 in the morning. And of course, when you get there, they don't know anything. And I asked, finally got one and said, he needs, what are you going to do? He's got an obstruction. He needs surgery. He's never going to have surgery. I'm not going to recommend that. Really? Well, I have the choice of keeping him here and watching him die slowly or removing him. But I'm a doctor and I have some
moxie. How did they take to that?
They were pissed. I actually almost got banned from the hospital. I had to meet with the nurses, the head nurse, because I was a problem. And I was a problem because I wanted to give him a bath. I wanted to give him a sponge bath, but it wasn't visiting hours, and I was in his room. Like, he's a prisoner. Are you kidding me? Oh, it was ugly. So I had to take him out, you know, put him in the private system. This is coming, people. This is coming to the United States. And I had to pay. Thank God it existed, a parallel system that I could take him to. And he danced at his 90th birthday. He'd have been dead otherwise. But I know I have enough backbone to know that this is not right and I'm going to fight it. What happens if you don't have it? What happens to the patients that say, oh, my doctor, I just trust my doctor. They know so much. What happens to those patients when they give your loved one a little bit of extra morphine because they met in their bioethics panel and it was deemed that they were too expensive and they didn't have much time to live and they've lived a good life and they should just be happy and just be comfortable and just die. That's what they're doing. There is no Hippocratic Oath being practiced. I don't even know if a majority of the medical schools still give it or still do it. And if they do it, they've altered it. So now you can perform abortions. I'm not so sure they didn't say that you can't do euthanasia now. But before, do no harm meant you could not do those things. That's the oath I took.
You know, it's to the point that it's not only the oath, but it's the fact that doctors aren't practicing, not in all cases, but many doctors, and this is where the government wants to, they're not practicing medicine. They're doing what has been told for them to do.
Listen, I have said this on multiple interviews. They're trying to make doctors agents of the government. You are now part of the data collection system. You are now part of the medical industrial complex. Your job is to palliate, to, you know, pump medications and pump vaccines, find out as much information that you can about someone's private life and their home life, make sure that if there is an inkling of some sort of dissatisfaction, that you put them on a medication so they're made comfortable and they can't be a problem. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, I'm Paisley McDonald, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my show, At Home with Paisley, every week, Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, for practical advice and stylish living for your home and office.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, before the break, I was laying out the problems. Let's talk a little bit about solutions, because you have to understand the problem, but I don't want people to get into the mode or mindset of, it's so overwhelming, why try? Let me just, if I do the right thing and go and get along, I'll be protected. You will not be protected. Okay, so going through the scanner in the airport, you know, giving up your personal information, thinking that the government's going to help you and that you're going to be liked and you're going to be one of them, doesn't work. There's only a few winners in this. And everybody else is a satellite to make sure the winners win, while they dope you up to make you believe that you're special. You're not. You really do have to take control of take your power back. And this is a medically based show, so I'm going to talk about the healthcare, because if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. Money doesn't matter. Fame doesn't matter. Nothing matters if you can't enjoy it because you're too sick to do so. So let's take a step back from Obamacare. One, the free market, medical free market, is alive and well and kicking and thriving and is the best kept secret in this country. And that's what the powers that be want you to believe. They want you to believe that you only have health insurance. If you don't have health insurance, then you're going to be bankrupted. That's not true. And as a matter of fact, health insurance is working even more so against patients. I'm getting so many denials all of a sudden and requests for past medical history because of pre-existing conditions and denial for medically necessary, and it's just medications are no longer covered. They've doubled down on not providing health care. While they're telling you how great it is and how you should want to join it, they've just gone insane. So what you do is you take your consent away from this broken healthcare system, making Aetna and Cigna and the rest of those things bigger, and allowing the government to fund them and underwrite them doesn't give you health care. But you having a conversation with your doctor, finding a doctor who gets it, finding a doctor who actually practices medicine and not corporatism, is going to make you healthy. And I've had a lot of doctors on my show. Dr. Boyer a couple of weeks ago, the Atlanta Urgent Care, North Atlanta Urgent Care, Highland Urgent Care. There's a ton of, again, anybody listening to the show who really wants some information, email us. Totally willing to answer your email. Totally willing to give you information off show. You need to find these centers. They exist everywhere. Instead of going to an ER, you need to go to an urgent care. But instead of Walmart's urgent care, which is not designed to help you, but designed to get you to buy a Coke or a bottle of Jack Daniels if you've got some alcohol in there now, or get a vaccine, you need to go to a freestanding, independent urgent care. Make sure it's staffed by board-certified ER doctors. And I'm sorry, nurse practitioners, sorry, PAs, but not by nurse practitioners and PAs as the only extenders. Any doctor who calls himself a provider is deluding themselves, because they've now been demoted to part of a healthcare team that's designed to work against you. You have to understand the nomenclature, the words that are used. I re-listened to a show that I did with one of the doctors from Canada, and he said he thought that it was well thought out and planned when they changed the name from doctors to providers, because it made the profession, it demeaned the profession. It made it just a commodity, just a service, just a, you know, it's like getting your oil changed. So they don't deserve to make any money because they don't have any skills. They don't do anything for you but take your money. That's what the mindset has been. People have been indoctrinated with that. And it gets compounded when people get on TV from Congress and tell you that doctors are trying to make money on you, negating the fact that what we do, if you're a good doctor, is you save lives. Save lives every day. Don't even think about it. But that's what we do. I'm sorry, but it's more valuable than someone pushing a button that's got a chicken on it. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I spent over 24 years in school of some sort, 10 alone going through medical school and residency. And I want to be paid for what I believe that I'm worth. And I'm not sitting on my butt, you know, watching Oprah all day. I'm actually working 80 hours a week. And when you break it down to the hours worked by a physician, it actually is close to minimum wage. And what they're going to do is tell us that we don't have the right. This is where it's going. The doctors are providing a service that's a right. It's not a service that's I don't think it's a privilege. I think it's a commodity. It's a service that I render, that I choose to render. I have a lot of things that I have to jump through. I have a lot of oaths that I've taken. I have a lot of responsibility. However, I still, on the bottom line, get to decide, or should get to decide, who I treat, when I treat them, how much I charge for my services. Anybody who messes with that is going to get a doctor who is crap. I'm going to tell you straight up. When it's 501, they're out of there. If your nose is falling off, your toes are falling off, you're at their doorstep, they're going to walk over you to go home. They're not going to do it.
I got to throw in, the doctors like yourself and others that I know and others that have been on different shows, something that people don't know is the amount of time that a doctor gives, if you want to call it charity, yeah. You can call it anything you want.
Every day.
Yeah, and the doctors that I've dealt with, the ones that are at the starting gate at 501, they're not practicing physicians. They're I don't know what they are. They're
technicians or agents. You know, the whole medical, and I have to have somebody on again so we can really tease apart the medical education system, because it's different now. They're trying to lower the amount of time that people spend in medical school from 4 years, I think, to 2 or 3. There's no way you're going to treat or be able to treat a patient and understand what the heck you're doing.
I love the AutoCAD type body instead of having bodies to work on and corpse and all
there
that.
There is no some schools don't do dissection. It's virtual. You're watching it on a TV. You're doing it on a computer. You know,
have
I
you
guess
ever
you
felt
touch
a body
this.
That felt like a screen on a monitor.
Oh, it's kind of like playing Operation, except you don't even get to touch the thing.
Yeah.
So we have doctors, surgeons that are coming out now who don't feel comfortable doing surgery by themselves. I mean, this is the difference between where I trained, where I did 1,000 cases before I left residency. 1,000. I'm now 15 years out, so I've done double that now. As opposed to somebody who's watched it, never done it, see one, do one, teach one kind of mentality. That's kind of scary. And that person that'll be a very easy person to manipulate, because you don't have a critical mindset. You don't have a sense of self. You don't have skills. So you have some pharmaceutical company deciding, okay, this person has sinusitis. Well, you will never do surgery on that patient. Besides, they don't even know how to do it anyway. Just medicate them with antibiotics out the wazoo with some Flonase and Nasonex, and that's all you get. So we're talking about going down a pathway where it's pharmaceutical-driven, because they're making the guidelines. They are making the meaningful use. They are making the, the parameters and the algorithms that are being driven under Obamacare. That's why they can say, we don't, you know, yes, we don't have a lot of doctors, but we want to train up nurse practitioners and physician assistants to take in the slack, because they want to do that. You take someone with 2 years of training versus someone of six or 10, they don't know as much, but they're able to follow cookbook. They're able to follow directions, able to dot I's, cross T's. That's what medicine will become. It already is becoming that way.
As we've talked before, all bodies are the same and identical,
yeah, really.
Aren't they?
Exactly. You know, children are the same as adults. But if you withdraw your consent to that system and start taking control of your own purse strings, you have to pay for what you get. You cannot get things for free and have them be worth anything. It doesn't happen in education. It doesn't happen anywhere. And it's not as expensive as people say. Call my office if you really want to know how much it is to see me without insurance. We work with you. And I can send you to a lab. I can do surgery with you in my office. Or I can take you to a surgery center that's based on fee-for-service, where you know the, what you're paying up front. No hidden fees. No $1,000, you know, commodes to go into your bed. They've inserted a middleman who's artificially inflated the price, who's taken the excess and taken it for themselves, bankrupted the system, blamed the doctors, and now want to ding the patients by making them, by government mandate, pay into a system and by definition get very little out and like it, or you're supposed to like it. And if you're not, then there's something wrong with you. You're going to put you on some sort of Wellbutrin because you're, you know, you're a troublemaker. You have avoidance or some sort of dissociative personality. This is all in the DSM, in the pharmacopoeia for psychiatry. If you believe in alternate, you know, you believe in a real reality instead of the alternate reality, that's a diagnosis. It's a psychological diagnosis. It's kind of scary. So I recommend that you go to theselfpaypatient.com. You go to my website, drelenageorge.com. You go to libertyhealthshare.com and you start reading. It's not scary. When you realize, damn, I can get insurance for $199 a month, pay $500 maximum, get $1 million coverage and see anybody I want. Why would you pick Humana or Aetna or Cigna over that? Are you insane? And to top it off, to know that it's covered under Obamacare mandate. So you play the game. Know the game, know the rules, and stop depending on someone to kind of feed you the rules, and win. That's the moral of this story and this show today. On that note, thank you so much for listening. I will be back next week, and I hope everybody has a healthy, happy week. Thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com.